Why don't you take your Bibles with me, if you would? And let's open them up to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. I want to preach this morning a message called, What is There to Fear If You Know the Lord? What is there to fear if you know the Lord? And I struggled over what I should preach this morning, and the Lord brought many texts to me, but I landed on this one in Isaiah 43. And I think it's such a wonderful reminder this morning that if we do know the Lord, I'll just go ahead and spoil the whole sermon for you, right? If you do know the Lord, there is nothing to fear. He can hold your life in His hand, but more than that, He can hold your soul and your destiny in His hands as well. And so let's read these verses together, if you would. Why don't you stand with me if you can and you're able? In honor of the reading of God's Word, we'll read the first five verses or so, and then we'll skip down to verse 10 and read through verse 13. It says here in this passage, But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Here's our key part of this message, verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. And then look to verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Let us pray. King Jesus, again, thank you for this day, God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit we felt this morning, God. What a touch from you, Lord, we've had. You are in this place here, gathered in the midst of us, God. Right now, as Brother Mike said, Lord, we just want to decrease. And Lord, we want you to increase in this next few moments, God. Let us lift up the name of Jesus. Let us draw all eyes and hearts and minds to Him. God, give me your spirit. Lord, give me liberty. And God, help me, Lord, to point my hand and my finger to you. Lord, we love you with all our hearts. We'll give you the glory for what you're going to do today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. May God add His blessings to the reading of His Word. There were two explorers on a jungle safari when suddenly a ferocious lion jumped in front of them. Keep calm, the first explorer whispered. Remember what we read in that book on wild animals? If you stand perfectly still and look the lion in the eye, he'll turn and run. There was a pause. And the second explorer said, Sure, you've read the book. I've read the book. But has the lion read the book? I think in this world today, there is a lot to be afraid of. Sister, I appreciated your testimony so much this morning when you spoke about you've dealt with anxiety. I think you're not the only one. I think there's lots of folks in this world who deal with fear, who deal with worry, deal with anxiousness. And I'm going to tell you, if you just turn on the news for about 5 minutes today, I don't know how you can't be anxious. I don't know how you can't have anxiety. There's so many horrible things going on. Every day, something new and terrible, it seems as though, is happening. And you know, the Bible does tell us we have an adversary in this world. And I believe that most, if not all, the fear and the problems and the difficulties that this world has can be drawn back to Him. He is an evil, horrible enemy. And Peter says, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And today, church, devouring plenty. There are families losing their sons, families losing their daughters, grandchildren losing their parents. Everywhere you look, everywhere you turn, the enemy is gobbling them up. And it seems as though there's a lot to be afraid of in this world. But I want to tell you, this morning, our lion has read the book. He's read the book. And so he knows this morning he's already been beaten. He knows this morning his power's already been broken. He knows this morning that the greatest fear you and I can face in this life, the fear of death, holds no power over the redeemed. Because there is no more death for those who believe. Folks, the lion is seeking whom he can devour, but the sting of death has been stolen from him. The power of sin is made of no effect any longer. And the book, what I just read this morning, says that we don't have anything to fear from him. Now listen, I can tell you that. You can hear it. You can acknowledge it, right? But it's a whole other thing to believe it, right? Because you've got so much evidence to the contrary. And the devil, he's great at public relations, PR. He gets his message out real easy. So church, that's why it's so important today that you and I don't pay attention to what the enemy has to say, and we pay attention to what our Savior Jesus Christ is telling us every moment of our lives from inside our own hearts. I want to share with you this morning just three little realities, three little truths from this passage that proves to us that we do not have anything to fear if we know the Lord. I believe this morning somebody's afraid. I believe this morning someone is heartbroken. I believe this morning someone's worried. And I just want you to know, there's nothing I can say or do today to alleviate those concerns. But if you look to Jesus Christ this morning, He can handle your every need and your every care and concern. He has the answer this morning. If you'll trust in Him. How do I know that? Number one, because He is your steward. He is your steward. If you look at verse 1 here in Isaiah 43, it says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name." And don't you love these last three little words? Thou art whose? Mine. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to your enemies. You belong to me. Why do you belong to me? Number one, because I created you. You know that the Creator this morning has a special relationship with what He creates? Folks, you and I, before we existed, were nothing more than lumps of clay. Lifeless, dead lumps of clay before the Lord formed us in our mother's wombs. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 9, verse 21, "Hath not the potter, though, power over the clay, of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and to another dishonor?" God told Adam, "Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Folks, we were nothing. We were flesh. But God breathed His life and soul into our being. We were formed then in His image, right? And He made you and I. Now listen, you might think, well, what does that mean? That means you're special and precious in His sight. You are His own creation, and He loves and cares for you as such. God has done more for you, though, than just that. Because He says in verse 1 here, not only has He made you, but fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Just as the Lord redeemed Israel through the application of the old covenant with Abraham, Christ today has redeemed the world for salvation through the new covenant bought at Calvary. You know that in those days, a redeemer bought an unfortunate relative out of their slavery and debt. If something happened that a relative couldn't pay their debts, they would have to go into servitude so they could somehow try to repay what was owed. But then a redeemer might come, a relative, a family member who couldn't see them in such bondage and say, you know what? You owe the price of your debts. You owe the penalty of what you've incurred against yourself, but I love you so much that I'm going to pay that debt for you. I'm going to redeem you. And that's exactly the type of idea here that the Lord explaining to Israel through Isaiah. Israel owed a debt that they could not pay themselves. The Lord knew that we owed a debt that we could not pay ourselves. But Jesus came and rescued you and me and paid the debt that we could not pay. That's what He did when He redeemed us. When God calls Himself our Redeemer, He looks forward to the price that had to be paid for salvation, like we sang in that song so beautiful at the end, that cry from the cross. John tells us that Christ explained about the redemption that He bought for us at the cross. Do you know this verse? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, again, you may not know me today. You may not know a lot about my background. But I'll tell you, I have not won, unfortunately, a lot of honors in my life. If you're looking at me and you're thinking, well, I don't think I've ever seen him on the Olympics running, you know, the 200 meter dash. Nope, I've never done that, okay? Never got a big award, never got a big trophy, all right? But do you know what I can claim today? I can claim today that I am one of the whosoever, amen? I am one of the whosoever. And isn't that the sweetest thing you can imagine today? I'd rather be, like we said, I'd rather be a whosoever than anything else in this world, because as a whosoever, that means Jesus paid the price of my sin and redeemed me at the cross. When the Lord redeems, when the Lord calls you His Redeemer, that means Jesus shed His blood for you. And there's not anything the enemy can do about that. So church, He's created you. Church, He's redeemed you. Do you know what that means? That means the Lord owns you twice over. He owns you twice over. You belong to Him twice. He made you. He redeemed you. His ownership's personal because He says, I have called you by your name. Sometimes I did it today. We won't name names. I get names wrong. Don't you hate it when you do that? I try so hard to get a name right. I'll say, hello. And then you'll know immediately when they look at you. Nope, you didn't get it right. Yeah, all right. You feel so sad and disappointed. You're trying to remember. But folks, God knows your name this morning. He knows you because He owned you twice over. He made you. He gave His blood for you. And He wants nothing more to have a relationship just with you. If you're the only person who would have ever have lived and put your trust in Him, He would have still made you. He would have still died for you. He knows your name this morning. And so when He calls your name, you can be certain that He wants to save you. His ownership's certain because He seals it by saying, you are mine. We can know that as our steward, He holds us, protects us, guards us, and cares for us. We can know that He would not have created, redeemed, and called us unless He intended to finish the work that He started in us. And that's a sweet thing, folks. Sometimes you might think, well, I don't know if I can make it to the end. I don't know if I can finish what has been set out before me. I'm going to tell you right now, your confidence shouldn't be in yourself. I've been there before. I don't know if I can do what's been asked of me. And I'm going to tell you probably, spoilers, I probably can't. But what is asked of me and what's set before me, if the Lord's in it, He can finish it in me. And so we can be certain that wherever the Lord wants us to go, whatever the Lord wants us to do, however He wants us to serve, we can know He's for us. He's looking out for us. So church, not only is He your steward this morning, number two, I'm going to tell you, He's also your shield. Read with me again, verse 2. He's your shield this morning. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Folks, the children of Israel, and this is what the Lord is referencing, the children of Israel had a history of their enemies trying to overwhelm and envelop them. And throughout history, enemy after enemy, nation after nation, tyrant after tyrant, would rise up and try to destroy and overcome the children of Israel. You can go back to the book of Exodus and you can read about how pressed up against the Red Sea, Pharaoh had come to the end of the story. I mean, if it had just been left up to men, that's what happened. The army would have come, would have, they would have been overwhelmed. But then the Lord spoke through Moses and He parted the waters, and the Bible says that the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. And not only that, when they got across and Pharaoh continued his pursuit, the Lord Himself defeated the armies of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world. They were to be overwhelmed. Was their shield. And then, of course, there were three little, you guys remember them? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. King Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden image. And every day at certain times when the horn would ring out, they were supposed to bow and worship this image of the king. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three little Hebrew boys, they said, no, we're not going to do that, king. That's not what God has for. Nebuchadnezzar commanded the three boys to be cast into a fiery furnace. And the Bible says He commanded that that furnace be heated 7 times hotter than what it would normally be heated. It was so hot that the mighty men of the king's army who cast the boys into the furnace, they died before they could escape and get away from the entrance to the furnace. And yet, do you remember what the Bible says? As the king gazed into the furnace, he said, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered him, true, O king. And the king said in reply, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Folks, I believe that was Jesus, don't you? Jesus coming to be with those three little boys, protecting them. Folks, He's the same God today. He hasn't changed one bit. He's the shield of Israel. He's the shield of the Hebrews. He's the shield of the church. He's the shield of the redeemed this morning. There's no one like Him. Boy, I'm getting excited this morning. I'm sorry. My wife calls me a little much sometimes, okay? And usually she just has to deal with that. Now you've got to deal with it. I apologize. But I just get excited when I realize that there is no danger to me as long as the Lord has His hand on me. Why be afraid if He's your shield? He's proven Himself time and time again. Amen? He's the shield. Time and time. He wouldn't allow Him to be, enveloped. But folks, it goes beyond that. Because you see, His power moves the nations of the earth. He says it there as you continue reading in the scripture. He says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, and Seba for thee. Church, every nation that's ever positioned itself against Israel has suffered the same fate. And it didn't matter if they were a minor power. It didn't matter if they were a major player. It didn't matter if they were a superpower. If God speaks, the multitudes can't withstand him. And this is a little extra. This is just a little free. We need to pray for the peace of Israel today. I believe that with all my heart. But we can add Hamas to that list as well, all right? Because they're not gonna last either. God will shield his people. He'll keep his promises. His power moves the nations of the earth. And of course, you and I have enemies in this age too. We probably don't have enough fingers and toes to count them all. And folks, that's the only way I can do it. I went to Sullivan North. That school ain't around no longer, okay? That's how you know the quality of it, all right? So I can't count that well. But if I took off my shoes and my socks and tried to count, and we all did the same thing, you and I couldn't count all the enemies that we have, the church has in this world today. And behind every enemies lurks that roaring Satan himself. Here's what Paul says. Paul says that the God, little g, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace? I was blind, and now I see. There's a lot of folks living in this world who haven't got to the second part of that little statement. They're still blind. And the devil has blinded them, and the devil uses them, and he wields them as a weapon against the church and against God's people. But let me tell you something about the God of this age today, church. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And I'll say it again, the devil has no power over the redeemed this morning. The devil has bruised the heel, but Christ has crushed his head. There is no power in our enemy today. God is our shield, and there is no enemy that can stand against him. And with all that power, he will protect what is precious to him. My goodness. I don't know if I'm getting through this morning, Brother Steve. I'm telling you right now, he will protect what is precious to him. He says that in verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Now, maybe some of you have, I don't know. I have never won a beauty pageant. Just got one little snore from Kenneth. That was it. All right. Thank you, brother. Not many wonderful words have been said about this face. All right. I haven't been called precious by too many people. Okay. But did you know that when the Lord speaks of me, he uses the word precious, Brother Steve? I'm that important to the Lord today. You might think, well, I'm not important to nobody, Brother Josh. Oh, yes, you are. You're so important to him that he gave the most important thing to him for you, his son Jesus. That's how precious you are to the Lord today. And if he's your shield this morning, if he is your safeguard, if he is the hand that covers your life and your soul, then you can be sure in earth for you, if that's what it takes. You know, as you all said, it is a no coincidence when something happens, and whether it be a TV or an accident or whatever comes across your path, it's no coincidence when you escape that unharmed. It's the Lord's hand on your life. It's the Lord's power moving to protect and preserve you. And that's what God does. Listen, he says, if God so clothe the field, the grass of the field, which is today here and tomorrow it's cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. You and I are more important to him than the grass of the field, but he dresses the grass. You and I are more important to him than the sparrow that falls from the sky. And he knows the name of every sparrow. If he loves them that much, imagine how much more he loves you today, church. You're precious to him, and he will protect what is precious. But church, let me tell you, as much as I appreciate that He is my steward this morning who owns my soul, thank God I belong to Him. As much and as glad as I am that He's my strong shield in this world, what I am most thankful for today is finally number three, the fact that He is my Savior. He's my steward. He's my shield. But most of all, He's my Savior. And He's your Savior this morning as well. Here it says in this passage, verse 10, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He." Church, I wish I could say this morning that because Jesus died on the cross, nobody has to worry about hell. They all have the hope of heaven. But I can't say that this morning because it's not the truth. The Lord's salvation isn't without qualification. There is a qualifier. You must know and believe and understand who that He is. The Lord says, "I am the Savior. I am the only Savior. There is no Savior but me." But that is of no effect in your life if you don't put your trust in that knowledge. You have to choose the Lord's Savior. You have to confess your sins. You have to confess yourself and make Him your Lord and God. I think it's the greatest tragedy in this world that men and women are born into it. They live their lives. We just talked about earlier how much of a struggle and a horror show this life can be. I've heard good Christian people say it. I bet you've said it yourself. I don't know how people do it without King Jesus in their lives. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. But do you know they do it every day? They get up every morning, disconnected, out of union with Jesus, with the Lord. And they just struggle through. Somehow they walk through and they have no hope. They're blinded by darkness. They have no help. They have no shield. They have no owner of their soul. And it's the greatest tragedy that they'll live for, what, 70, 80 years in that state, and then they'll die and they'll just fall off into a devil's hell. Not prepared for them. Not meant for them. Not a place they should be going, but that's where they go because of their sin. Isn't that a tragedy this morning, church? It's the greatest tragedy that there ever could be. Outside of that, Savior who's ready and willing to save them and to renew them and to make them new. Isaiah says, "The ox knoweth his owner and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." It's the same today. There's billions of people in the world. And God's demonstrated His power as the steward and shield of Israel, and still He's rejected. Think about this. And then I'll be done here in just a moment. I've been told this before. I've been told, "You know, Josh, if the Lord would just prove that He was real, just do a little miracle, if He'd just come down and just show me a little something, I'd believe in a heartbeat. I'd believe just like that." Do you know that the Lord parted the Red Sea and let Israel walk across on dry land? And not a week later, they were making a golden calf and worshiping as their God. You hearing me? The Lord is so much wiser than you and I. He certainly could come down here and show us, every person who's alive, His power and His miracles in explicit fashion. But it wouldn't change a thing. Because they'd still reject Him. They'd still find a reason. "Well, I don't know. Maybe He's good enough for you. I don't know. Folks, today is salvation. Is the day to acknowledge and hear. It's not the day to wait for some other opportunity. Today is the day to acknowledge that He's your Savior. People in this world will rationalize and justify their decisions. They'll even put their faith in lesser temporal things. They'll say, "Hey, I know I'm not great, but I'm good enough, aren't I?" Good enough never got anybody anywhere, unfortunately. The Lord, His righteousness, is all that we can need to be able to pay the price for our sins. People will never darken the door of a church today, brothers and sisters. They'll shut their doors in the faces of believers trying to share the gospel with them. They'll ignore their friends, their family who speak the name of Jesus to them. If they ever make it into a pew, they'll ignore the urgings of the pastor. They'll hold on for dear life to the back of the pew. And they'll say, if I can just make it through this last verse, I can get home and I'll be out of this place. I don't want to be here any longer. They don't understand the truth that we read in verse 11. Can you read that with me again? Verse 11 says, I am the Lord. You can just highlight this, underline this in your Bible. And beside me, there is no Savior. Folks, I ain't the best preacher in the world. But I know this. Jesus is the only name under heaven and earth that you and I can be saved under. That's it. That's it. If you're waiting for somebody else or something else, you're waiting for the right moment, the right time, it's not coming. This is what you have. The Lord said it here in the Old Testament. He said it in the New. Peter preached, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's a story told in which an accountant answered a posting for a job with a top firm. At the end of the interview, they asked him one little last simple question. You know, when you're doing something important, sometimes you can get a little nervous. You know what I mean? And so it should have been one he got like this, but they said, hey, can you tell us what is 3 times 7? And without thinking, he said 22. So he got out of that interview and he thought, well, I've missed that job. I messed up. That's it. But imagine his surprise 2 weeks later when they called him and they said, sir, you've got the job if you want it. Well, he took it. And his first day, he went in and he asked that man who interviewed him, why did you hire me? I answered 22. And the man said, well, you were the closest. Listen, that's funny. But do you know that's how people treat their eternal destiny in this world today? Well, you know, I have gone to church every now and then. Well, yeah, I know. I got a cousin. He's a singer. I've heard him sing and speak a couple of times. Oh, yeah, I don't do anything real bad, like kill anybody or steal anything. Yeah, I'll probably be okay. I'll get there. That's close enough, right? Those are famous last words, church. I alone am the Savior, the Lord says. There is no other name, Peter says. We have to get this right. Folks, if you don't get anything else right in your life, you have to get this right. It's Jesus. It's Him. Scare you. If you don't believe in Jesus, then there's plenty to be afraid of. Absolutely. But that's not the name of my sermon. The name of my sermon is, what is there to fear if you know the Lord? And so I'm not telling you this morning that you better get saved and make it right before it's too late, or else Jesus, I don't believe, came into this world so that you might have more fear. There's plenty of fear in the world enough already. Jesus came so that you would never have to fear again. And so that's what I'm urging you this morning. Choose the Lord and have a certain hope. Look at verse 13 and we'll be done. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Folks, God's credentials, if you're wondering this morning, okay, Josh, I'm listening. I'm hearing. Me. What do I have to prove that if I trust the Lord, then then he can be my Savior. Well, credentials go beyond just the saving work on behalf of his people. He comes before time itself. It says there, before there was a day, I was. When there was nothing, God existed. He doesn't have a beginning. He doesn't have an end. He's the only entity in all of existence that can claim that. So his strength is infinitely greater than anyone else's. He can rightly say in that verse, there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. When God says something, when he says it is, nobody can reverse it. You can look at Josh McKinney, and I believe maybe the devil will do this when I stand before the Lord in judgment. I don't know. But you can look at my life, and we can lay out the ledger. Well, he did this. He did this. He did this. He did this. He failed here. He failed here. He failed here. He was an embarrassment. You should be ashamed of him. And I don't have an answer to any of that. Absolutely, it's true. But that don't matter when the Lord says he's covered by the blood of Jesus. That's what matters in the end. That's what will carry the day. That's what will win the trial. That's what will guarantee my entry into heaven today. Not because anything I did, not because I was his preacher, not because I pointed people to him, because Jesus poured his blood on me and erased my sins so that they're as far away from me now as the east is from the west. It's Jesus that did it today, church. And if you choose him, your sins will be gone. When the Lord looks at you, he'll see the righteousness of Jesus. Believe today, heaven is yours. Believe today and the Lord will take possession of your life. Believe today and the Lord will never forsake you or leave you. Believe today and he'll treat you like the precious treasure that you are. It's the joy of the Lord today that is the reason why you should get saved. Not the fear, the joy. God will make your life better than you ever could have imagined it could be on this world and in the next. That's what God will do. Nehemiah was right when he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Here's how I want to close, church. I know it's noon. It turns 12 o'clock and all of our bellies start rumbling. Isn't that the truth? I just want to finish this sermon. I want to give the Lord an opportunity to work. It's his time, right? We know today that if he's your steward, if he's your shield and you've made him your Savior, all that's left today to do is simply to obey him. Verse 5, fear not, for I'm with thee. Fear not, for I'm with thee. Whatever you're facing today, whatever hardships in your life, whatever pain is in your breaking heart, fear not. Why? Because the preacher said it? No. Because it's the right thing to do? No. Because God's with you today. Fear not. Folks, if you're secured in your trust that you know, then understand he's chosen you to be his witnesses. I like to call the end of the sermon the call to action. Well, if you're a believer today, this is the call. Isaiah, the Lord spoke through him. He said, tell Israel, you're my witnesses. I've done what I've done for you. Now go tell the world what I've done. Do you know, church, the same is true today. If Jesus has saved you, if Jesus has made himself the Lord of your life, if your fear has melted away and all that's left is joy, guess what you should do with that today? Go tell somebody who Jesus is. But folks, if you're trusting anything today, other than Jesus Christ with your future, this morning, you better listen to what he's saying. He's spoken in every generation. He has given his confidence in every age. His testimony is true. I believe that we are in the end of all the ages. I believe we are in the last days. That's what the Bible tells us. Sometimes, as believers, we think it's time to, well, it's hard, it's rough. We better circle them wagons. We better just kind of shelter up. We better hold on, try to hang out. Okay? It's rough out there. Just hunker down and hopefully it'll pass. That's not how the church ought to be living today. The church today ought to be out there telling folks who need to hear it that Jesus is coming again, that Jesus is your Savior, and that you'll be left behind if you don't trust Him now. And here's the last thing I'll say, and then we'll pray. Are you afraid this morning? Has the doctor given you a prognosis that you don't know where it's going? Has a friend told you something that's your heart? Do you know this morning that your sins condemn you and you're in despair over it? Are you brokenhearted or depressed? I don't know what it might be, but I do know this. If you trust the Lord and you know Him, there is nothing you need to fear today. I love you. I don't know some of you, but I love you. Jesus loved me. He loved me before I knew Him, so I try to do that too. I love you even if I don't know you today. And the very best thing I can tell you out of love is that before you walk out this door, know that you know that you know. Lay your burdens on Him. You don't have to carry Him any longer. Jesus, isn't that wonderful about Jesus? He said, you can carry my burden. It's light. I'll take yours. Lay it on me. That's what Jesus will do. Why would you walk out of this place trying to carry it with you? Got a little girl. Her name's Hazel. Hopefully you'll get to see her. You heard her a little bit earlier. She gets excited. But she's just learned about how to pick things up and carry them around. But she gets so mad. She'll have a whole bunch of stuff and she'll start picking it up. And then she tries to pick up too much and it falls out. And she goes, argh! She can't say anything right now. She don't even know any words really. But she just gets so mad. She'll try it again. And when it falls out, she'll get mad again. You think, oh, so isn't that sweet? She don't know no better. She's just a little kid. How many Sundays, please hear me, church. How many Sundays do people hear the preacher preach? And he shares with them the gospel. He shares with them that Jesus loves them, that He'll carry their load. And then they hold on to the back of the pew and they walk out those doors and they're doing the same things, just trying to carry something they can't carry anymore. Jesus today died so you wouldn't have to carry that burden anymore. So why walk out of this place? Why leave this place trying to carry it yourself? Can we bow our heads and close our eyes? Brother Steve, I'm going to ask your family would like to come. Why don't we sing one or two verses of some sort of invitation? While they come, we're going to pray. And we're just going to give the end of this service to the Lord. I don't have anything else to say after I pray. I just want to worship and glorify the Lord. Listen, if today no one comes, if today no one responds, that's okay. I know who Jesus is to me. Amen. He's my Lord and Savior. Everything I've preached to you today, He's already done for me. I can't be any better than that, church. But I do believe God's speaking to somebody. Every time I get up to speak, I feel with all my conviction that this message is for someone. So in just a moment after we pray and they begin to sing, as Brother Mike said, this altar is open. If you want somebody to pray with you, I'll pray with you. We've got other leaders here, other men and women of God who will come pray with you. And again, I'm not trying to scare you. That's not been my intent. I simply want you to walk out of here with the same joy that I have every day of my life because of what Jesus did for me. I'm going to pray for you now. Christian, I want you to pray. And whoever it is that the Lord is speaking to today, they'll listen, they'll respond, and God will have His way. Father God, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings of life. God, we thank You, Lord, for everything You've done for us. Lord God, we give the rest of this service over to You now. Lord, just speak and have Your way as they sing. God, we'll wait on You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing this?